Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. You know, when we go live or whatever the heck we're doing these days. Get your show gear at StuDoesMerch.com. We have shirts, mugs, stickers, and more. Stu10 is the code. You will save 10% off your order. Rob Eno is here to talk about Pete Buttigieg and his shady DEI practices. Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart are going scorched earth on CBS. We'll look at their latest reactions. But we're going to start by doing Hunter Biden on crack. And you might say to yourself, wait a minute, are you telling us that Hunter Biden is doing crack again? And of course, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he has currently been commenting on the topic of crack. Hunter Biden on crack. We're not saying he's doing crack, though watching some of these clips might make you think that. We're not saying that. We're just saying he's commenting on the topic of crack cocaine. Hunter Biden on crack, just so you know. So this is big interview that he did, a couple of them actually. Hunter Biden's chaotic revenge tour is how the Washington Examiner frames it. And it was with a guy named Andrew Callahan. At first, when I saw him, I didn't know who he was. I didn't place him at all. It just seemed like a weird YouTuber, frankly. But as I looked into him a little bit more, I did remember going down a thread years ago where I watched some of his, I think, like documentaries where he would talk to people, around. I remember it kind of around like strange events, like maybe like January 6th and like, just like interesting groups of people. He would go up to him, he would interview them, kind of let them go, even if they were saying something crazy or, racist or God knows what, he would kind of let them go. It reminded me a little bit of Louis Theroux, the guy from England who did, I remember him doing a documentary on Westboro Baptist Church. He like went and lived with them for a weekend. This is a really crazy church out there saying all sorts of terrible things. And it was the same type of thing. So I don't know. I guess this guy, Andrew Callahan, had a really big YouTube following, had a bit of a Me Too scandal with some pretty serious accusations in it. He went away. He did the sort of therapy thing because he said he was drinking too much or whatever. And apparently now he's back doing interviews with the children of presidents. So I don't know. It's an interesting road. His life, I'm sure, will be in a very interesting documentary one day. But actually understanding that and understanding that he went through the Me Too thing and went through alcoholism and all that kind of made me understand how this happened, because watching the clips, Hunter Biden looks like he's actually doing crack, not just commenting on it. Watching the interview in context, a very long interview, but it is honestly more about recovery and alcoholism and things like that. It sort of made sense as to how the interview came about. So anyway, that's the background. Most people you probably hear talking about this, they didn't really watch the interview. It was fascinating because the crazy clips that I'm about to show you, and we're going to show them to you because they're fun, are totally different than at least the tone of, the first hour for sure, where it's very calm. They're just talking about, his life and how he battled through alcoholism. And crack addiction and all of the rest. So it's a fascinating interview. I don't know. It seemed like it was pretty worth watching. So I also, by the way, posted on Twitter. Let me send you there for this picture because we don't have it pulled up here on the show for the moment. But if you go to x.com/StuDoesAmerica, posted a picture of Hunter Biden. I mean, I've never seen it before. He looks just like Joe. I mean, like there's a face he makes in the middle of this interview that looks like the same face Joe Biden made when he was trying to think of an answer during the debate. It's like that sort of like confused what's going on face. I find that kind of interesting. Let me give you some of the highlights of this, though. A lot of it did have to do with substances and addiction and everything else. This particular clip, they're talking about crack, and that's why we called this episode Hunter Biden on Crack. Here he is talking about one of his the nemesis of his life, I guess, one of the big ones, crack cocaine, and how maybe it's not so well understood.
Well, the only difference between crack cocaine and cocaine is sodium bicarbonate and water and heat, literally.
That's it?
That's it.
And those things are pretty much free if you go to like a science store.
This is free. You can go to a your neighborhood convenience store and just get. Anyway, I don't want to tell people how to make crack cocaine, but
good,
it literally is
good
a
job.
Mayonnaise jar, cocaine, and baking soda.
How different is the experience?
It's vastly, vastly different. And like for real, I feel really reluctant to kind of have some euphoric discussion. I know you're not asking me to do that,
yeah.
But have some euphoric discussion about crack cocaine.
I think this might be kind of the opposite here.
Okay, no, it's the exact opposite. I'm saying I don't want to have the experience
gotcha.
Of some euphoric recall. That's how powerful crack cocaine is. Does crack cocaine make you act any differently? No. Is it safer than alcohol? Probably. People think of crack as being dirty. It's the exact opposite. When you make crack, what you're doing is you're burning off all the impurities so that it combines with the sodium bicarbonate, which makes it smokable. That's all. You know, all of these actors and, you know, people in the past that talked about they had a problem with cocaine and freebasing, they were smoking crack.
So straw on the stove is the same thing?
Not exactly, but close to it. But it's a little bit different.
Now, did everyone learn a lot about crack there? There is Hunter Biden on crack. And I will say, I actually learned a lot there. I didn't know any of that stuff about crack. I have to say I'm a little boring. Never tried it. I know. Who would have thought? So a lot to get through, though, on that clip. First of all, make sure you go to the science store, whatever you want to buy science. That's where I always go, is the science store. But basically, he's talking about trying to give the recipe to crack. He didn't want to tell you exactly how to make it. Which is a good instinct, especially when you've smoked it and, you know, blown up your life multiple times. Maybe don't encourage people to figure out how to do it. I thought the point he made, though, about he didn't want to have a euphoric discussion was kind of interesting, right? Like, if you think about, like, an exhilarating moment in your life, right? You hit a home run in a Little League game. You kissed a girl for a first time. Whatever that thing is, when you think back, you have, like, a feeling. You can almost relive it, right? And obviously, I would assume, a few crack rocks probably is really high on the scale of euphoria when you have it, which is why people go back to it so often. He's like, I don't want to kick myself back into gear doing that. And watching this interview, at least, you know, for extended periods of time, he does not seem as, I don't know, frantic as he seems in that clip where he's speaking really quickly and I started watching the interview thinking it seems like he might just be back on crack. Now I just think he's discussing the topic of crack, which is why we named this particular episode that. He also said it doesn't make you act differently. I feel like that might not be true. If you're thinking about trying some crack today, I would factor in the possibility that it will make you act differently. Okay, now it might not. I don't have a lot of evidence to back that up other than every single person I've ever heard of using it is usually because they're in the gutter somewhere or are dead. So I would say, you know, acting differently is probably something you should expect when it comes to crack. Saying that it's safer than alcohol, not sure that's a good vibe for most. Not sure that that's true, first of all. One of the justifications he uses earlier in the interview on that is like, oh, well, alcohol kills far more people than crack does. And of course, I mean, that's true. But a lot of that's true because like 60% of adults drink it, right? We're not, and this is going to surprise you, 60% of adults do not do crack. It's a very small percentage of adults that do crack. So that might be the reason why. I'm pretty sure crack is a little bit more intense than having a margarita, you know, at Fridays. That's just me. And he talks about crack being dirty. It's not dirty. It's actually very pure. The reason why people think it's dirty is because it's always smoked in the worst areas in the city, right? Like the worst area you've ever heard of, that's where the crack is. If you want to go get crack, you're generally going to a crack house, I would assume, or an awful park. He talks about that earlier in the interview as well. He went to like just randomly into parks and would look for drug dealers that he knew, and that's where he would buy his crack. That's kind of like, it seems like a dirty atmosphere, and that's why it's thought of that way. I don't think it's because of the actual chemical makeup of crack, but I'm glad he made that that distinction. Now, not everybody has such a wonderful experience on drugs. Actually, some people have bad experiences on them, including his dad, who apparently now blew the debate in the presidency and the candidacy for president of the United States because he was on Ambien? Question mark. Here's the clip.
I know exactly what happened in that debate. He flew around the world, basically, in the mileage that he could have flown around the world 3 times.
Yeah.
He's 81 years old. He's tired as they give him Ambien to be able to sleep. He gets up on the stage and he looks like he's a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, that's one of the things he looked like. You know, this is a bizarre excuse. And, you know, look, put yourself in the situation for a moment. Your dad just blew his job as leader of the free world. Like, it's, I'm sure, difficult to go through. But you see over and over again, Hunter is very defensive. And when he gets defensive, almost every clip you've probably seen of this is him being very defensive. And he starts to speak quickly. He's very angry, a lot of anger. He's got that Biden anger problem that Joe also has. And that's pretty darn clear, honestly. He goes after George Clooney. Hunter blames George Clooney and Democrats for undermining his father. Here is the commentary. You tell me, I'll give you 2 words to decide. Do you think Hunter Biden likes George Clooney? Watch.
Him. Him. Him and everybody around him. I don't have to be nice. Number one, I agree with Quentin Tarantino. George Clooney is not a actor. He is a I don't know what he is. He's a brand. And by the way, and God bless him. You know what? He supposedly treats his friends really well. You know what I mean? Buys them things. And he's got a really great place in Lake Como. And he's great friends with Barack Obama. You. What do you have to do with anything? Why do I have to listen to you? What right do you have to step on a man who's given 52 years of his life to the service of this country and decide that you, George Clooney, are going to take out basically a full page ad in the New York Times?
You know, I gotta say, I'm not a Hunter Biden fan nor a supporter. I do like George Clooney in a lot of his movies. You know, he's a fine actor. I don't demean his acting ability. I will say, though, his analysis of the situation is kind of true, isn't it? Like, I mean, this is the argument I would have made to Joe Biden behind the scenes. What do you mean you're going to quit because George Clooney wrote a freaking letter to the New York Times? Who cares? He's an actor. Who cares what he says? He already had the nomination. It would be one thing to try to defend yourself, to try to win a nomination. If that this stuff all happens in the middle of the primary, it might be difficult to win. You'd have to come up with defenses. If it looks like you're going to lose, the primary, maybe you step down and say, I'm not going to run anymore. The guy had already won the primary. Like, I think I would have been the same way behind the scenes, being like, dude, what are you doing? You're going to step down because George Clooney and Nancy Pelosi are telling you? So what? You're the president of the United States. I was going to give you an extended Rocky III analogy there, and I stopped myself. I want you to know that I'm thinking of you. I stopped myself. I was going to give you a big Clubber Lang analogy. I'm going to stop myself and not do it because I don't have enough time to do it. That's the only reason, really. I want to do the Rocky III analogy, but I don't have enough time. Okay. Hunter Biden also talked about some policy issues. You'll be sure. Now, of course, there's a lot of crack policy that we heard earlier, but it wasn't all yelling at his former Democratic friends. He also talked about the wonderful migrants that come and serve all of us rich, wealthy white people. Here's Hunter on immigration.
All these Democrats say, you have to talk about and realize that people are really upset about illegal immigration. You. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you have food on your fucking table? Who do you think washes your dishes? Who do you think does your fucking garden? Who do you think is here by the fucking sheer just grit and will that they figured out a way to get here because they thought that they could give themselves and their family a better chance? And he's somehow convinced all of us that these people are the fucking criminals? White men in America are 45 more times likely to commit a f***ing violent crime than an immigrant. And the media says, well, you got David Axelrod and, you know, Rahm f***ing Emanuel. So f***ing smart, Rahm Emanuel. And said, we got to understand that these people are really mad. And we got to appeal to these white voters. Rahm, the only people that f***ing appealed to those f***ing white voters was Joe Biden, 81 years old.
Again, going off the rails a little bit here. It's interesting, and I think it is true. Who would service your hotel room if it wasn't for people earning less than minimum wage here illegally? What a wonderful message of acceptance and tolerance such a strange, you know, it's, we've been told forever that our side of the argument, if you're a conservative, of wanting to keep illegal immigrants out of the country and, you know, not fill the labor supply with very cheap labor, was the mean side. And the nice, humane side of the argument was to let them come here and let them earn pennies of the dollar and service people like Hunter Biden. Now, when I say service Hunter Biden, there's a lot of context to that. I don't know exactly what side of that some of them fall on, but it's nice to see that Hunter Biden really is aware that people do come and they do clean the bodily fluids out of the carpet fibers after he leaves a hotel room. That's nice to know. When it's, someone's there to dust the leftover methamphetamine into a garbage can after he checks out. And so I that's the humane, accepting side of the argument. What a wonderful existence that must be. And I hope you, if you happen to be an illegal immigrant, first of all, welcome to our nation, because you were invited here probably by Joe Biden. But secondarily, I hope you enjoy cleaning up Hunter Biden's bodily fluids, because that's what you're here for, apparently, according to Hunter. Also, he was going after Trump on the issue of deportations. Watch.
But these guys think that we need to run away from all values in order for us to lead. I say, f*** you. How are we getting those people back from in El Salvador? Because I'll tell you what, if I became president in 2 years from now, or 4 years from now, or 3 years from now, I would pick up the phone and call the f***ing president of El Salvador and say, you either f***ing send them back or I'm going to f***ing invade. It's a f***ing crime what they're doing. He's a f***ing dictator thug.
He's the dictator thug, but you're going to invade El Salvador over migrants that we sent them. Interesting policy proposal. Again, I just want to remind you, the name of today's program is Hunter Biden on Crack. I'll also point out, hey, Hunter, this is pretty entertaining stuff. You should get in the middle of that primary. I'm just saying, who cares if you lose? It would be a lot of fun. Just go for it. What do you got to lose now? Your dad is probably, you know, he's not doing so well already. Not going to be around that much longer. Give him some excitement. This will keep him awake and alert, I'll tell you that, because it would be a lot of fun. Now, he did another interview with Jamie Harrison, who is a Democrat. He described him in the Andrew Callahan interview as someone who he was friends with, who was loyal to his dad. So that's the context of this setup. But he was also pissed off about Nancy Pelosi and the way she handled things.
And you would have the Speaker Emeritus that would say, well, you know, I'm going to leave it up to, but I don't know. And they had already made a decision. They had clearly made a decision. And when I say they, I mean the speaker. And, you know, I heard Alexander Pelosi say something, call my mom, like, put your big girl pants on to my mom or something. Mm. And I kind of feel like saying, who the f*** do you think you are? I would never speak about your mom that way.
Yeah.
I would never speak about your father that way. I would never insult your parents that way.
And to be fair, her parents died in 1847. So, I mean, it's really, I don't know that they'd be that, she'd be that offended about it. But it is pretty insulting. Honestly, like, I completely understand the anger there. I mean, imagine this for a second. Your dad is president of the United States, and all of his friends, the second they don't need him, the second they feel that he's no longer worth anything to them, the second they feel that they can get more political benefit by going with someone else, they absolutely light his political legacy on fire. And, you know, it's obviously true that he should not have been president of the United States. It's obviously true he should not be president of the United States now. Can you imagine? It's obviously true he was so bad in that debate he should have dropped out. It's obviously true that even though Kamala Harris was a disaster, that move probably did help them to a significant margin. Like, it probably helped the Democrats keep a Senate seat or two. It probably helped the margins get a lot closer. Probably a few more states would have gone to Donald Trump if Joe Biden was the nominee, though that wouldn't have made much of a difference considering Trump won anyway. The Senate balance may have been a little bit different. The House balance might have been a little bit different. I mean, the House is close enough that it could have potentially been saved if what's her face did a little bit better. But probably she did improve, Kamala did improve the run of the Democrats a little bit. And it probably was the right move, even though it was essentially a coup and they just stole a bunch of votes away from the people in their party. I don't care about their party's votes, honestly. They're dumb enough to vote in a Democratic primary. They kind of get what they get. Remember, Democrats make the rules for their own primary, so they can kind of do whatever they want. They don't have to listen to your votes at all. And that goes for the Republican Party, too. I just care a lot more about that. All that being said, you would feel incredibly angry about this. And I would understand it. If your dad got screwed over like that, you'd be pissed. And I'm sure they do think he would have won or would have performed even better than Kamala did. That's probably true. That being said, you can see by the tone of this interview and how he goes from really, really calm to really, really excited. There's a lot of that Biden in him. You know, it's not just the photo that I shared on Twitter. There's a real anger problem there. There's a guy who can be calm for a while and then just blows up and explodes whenever it seems convenient. Again, being wronged is one thing. How you react to it is another. And you see that he's going down this road. I hope for his sake, for his family's sake, that he doesn't go down this road again and turn Hunter Biden on the topic of crack into Hunter Biden is actually doing crack. I hope that doesn't happen. Because certainly with someone like him, and you see how emotional he is and how he loses control very easily, it makes you nervous as to whether he might go down that road again. I hope he doesn't for the sake of the family and for the sake of himself. But none of that means that his dad should have been anywhere near the presidency of the United States. None of that means that he didn't do all sorts of really corrupt things. None of that means that he has any excuse for the way he's acted throughout his life, the children he's abandoned, the women he's screwed over. All the horrible things that this guy has done throughout his life, you don't get an okay from people because you come out and maybe you got screwed by Nancy Pelosi in one election. The truth is, it's really, really fortunate that he is no longer anywhere near the levers of power. And for too long he was, and that was to great effect to the negative side for our country. Thank God. At least that is one of the problems our country, for the moment, has solved until he enters the race for 2028. One of the hardest parts of cooking is the constant worry, you know, is it done? Is it overdone? Is it underdone? How's it cooked? Am I going to ruin another perfectly good meal? Chef IQ Sense just takes the guesswork out of all that. It's brilliantly simple. It's a wireless cooking sensor that works with the Chef IQ app and makes sure your food comes out perfectly every single time. No matter what you're cooking, I'm kind of the grill master at my house. When we are outside, we're grilling, I'm grilling hamburgers and steaks or chicken or whatever it is. These things, they're just like little thermometers. You stick them in the meat. And then you can close the grill. You can step away. You can follow all the progress right on your app. So I know one of the things I used to deal with, in Texas, it's 100 degrees out. You're hovering over the grill. I don't even eat meat. So I'm cooking this for the family and the friends, and I'm cutting it and trying to get the right temperature and trying to do, I'm sure I'm screwing it up. This is a different situation. Chef IQ just makes this super easy. Chef IQ Sense monitors your food from start to finish, sends an alert to your phone the moment it's done. You can say, I want it medium rare. It'll tell you when that is. No second guessing, no slicing something halfway open to see if it's close enough. It's all done for you precisely and perfectly every single time with Chef IQ Sense. I can actually enjoy cooking again without stressing about the timing and the temperature or standing there over that freaking hot grill. It's really hot in Texas. Jump on this now. Summer grilling season is, of course, right here. Chef IQ Sense makes you a grill master. And during their flash sale, you'll get 15% off chefiq.com right now. Visit chefiq.com. Promo code is STU. Flash sale going on now. chefiq.com. The promo code is STU.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
I'm joined once again by Rob Eno, managing editor of Blaze News. And speaking of the Blaze, there's a new piece you should check out right now. It's called Pete Buttigieg shoveled out $80 billion
It's a B.
A $80 billion in DEI from Transportation Department while ignoring air traffic control upgrades. As you know, this is a very, very important topic for me. I'll be sure to put a link up on my X account. I want to get to that story here in a second. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Quickly, before we do, though, let's hit the Hunter Biden thing. You watched this. You've seen the reaction to it in the media. How do you view their coverage?
Oh, yeah, they're going absolutely nuts. How dare you go against all us Democrats? We were just, you know, Biden really was. After they defend his dad for the entire time, he's like, no, he was just on Ambien. What?
Right. Was that
the president was on Ambien the entire time?
Seems like a bad
idea. That's better? Mm-hmm. That's like when Biden said, well, yeah, no, I said like all the broad parameters of the party. I didn't give every single person their part. Like, it's the same type of stupidity.
Yeah, yeah. It's very weird. It also seems like the coverage isn't talking about the interview or any of the things he's saying in the interview. You know, it's like they're focusing on this being essentially a distraction. I mean, they want this Epstein thing to be tied to Trump really badly.
Right.
And any story that comes out these days seems to be tied to that.
Right. Yeah, they don't want anything to take the focus off of Epstein. If you look at media places across the country, do you remember the journalist?
Yeah.
Back in the day, there was that email list where there was like, this is what we're all going to talk about today, email sent.
There's like hundreds of journalists on this.
And hundreds of journalists got it. Take a look at mainstream media today. Everything says Trump creating diversions for Epstein. Trump's every single above the fold headline in every mainstream newspaper today seems to be that story. But you're telling me they don't coordinate.
No.
And they don't talk about what they're going to talk like. They don't get a memo that says this, they just magically all come up with the exact same headline.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this is what they do, right? And they're doing the same thing, I think, with the Hunter Biden stuff.
Right.
Like, this is going to be something that I think largely going to be ignored by the media.
Right.
Another thing that's going to be very much ignored by the media is the story we mentioned earlier. Pete Buttigieg shoveling $80 billion in DEI from Transportation Department while ignoring air traffic control upgrades. As you know, did a documentary here for
Right before Thanksgiving, you made everybody feel safe.
Yes, everybody.
Traveling on Thanksgiving, the largest travel day of the year.
People hated me for that. But they hated me for other reasons before it, so I can't really worry about it too much. But this was the type of stuff we were talking about throughout the entire documentary. And you, Carlos Garcia at The Blaze, put together this report, which shows that a lot of this stuff really was going on.
It absolutely was. I mean, they're talking about taking money that was earmarked for infrastructure, right? In the whatever that Inflation Reduction Act thing was, and some of the other bills that were supposed to go to infrastructure. And they're saying that half of the money went to DEI programs so that the money would go to places that were underserved. Underserved, whatever that means, right? And then there was just straight up DEI programs at the Department of Transportation. And Buttigieg tries to say, oh no, we spent $4 billion here and $3 billion here on what they termed as modernization in the article. But if you look at it, it was for like regular maintenance, right?
Right.
I guess they need to maintain the 8-inch. I remember there were 8-inch floppy disks, right?
Yeah.
They weren't running off 5.5s.
Right.
And they weren't running on 3.5s like I used to have on my Apple IIe.
Sure.
They were running on the big 8-inch floppy disks from, you know, a 1972 era, you know, DEC VT-100 or something.
Yeah, if you didn't see the documentary, that's real. Like, they were actually running FAA, air traffic control computers, off of floppy disks. Now, I mean, when's the last time you even saw one, let alone actually use one?
I might get a couple, because I got my, you know, we get the Apple II at home that you got to use sometimes.
But yeah. No, we don't. We don't have to use it.
Some of us do. I mean, we got a pristine one out in the back.
Yes, yeah. It's a
collector's
item.
It used to run all the time, remember? It used to run all the time.
It's a collector's item, Rob. It's not supposed to be used to save people's lives in the air. Like, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's fascinating to see this, because I guess the context around Buttigieg is interesting right now. There's no path in my mind from mayor of South Bend, Indiana, to transportation secretary to president. Certainly there was no path from mayor of South Bend, Indiana, directly to president. He tried that last time.
Right.
I don't see how the Department of Transportation helps him, honestly, improve his profile. I think that the Biden administration honestly stuck him there thinking he could be a threat and we don't like him, so give him the crappiest job in the administration, which he took, and he's an idiot. He took it and screwed it up the entire time. Looking at this stuff, what do you gain from in perspective when you look at his rumored presidential run? What's he doing?
I think that he's trying to. I mean, they forcefully went back at this. I think that they're trying to get himself to the center. He's trying to be in the center. I don't know if, you know, the picture of him and his, you know, husband sitting in a hospital bed after they didn't give birth to a child is going to help him.
They were in the
come
hospital.
To the senator. You remember that, right?
I remember him leaving for maternity leave. I don't remember a picture.
No, there is a picture. There is a famous picture of him and the husband both sitting in a hospital bed in hospital gowns.
In gowns?
Holding the child.
Why? Well, they didn't do anything.
Well, you know, they see everybody has that picture and they want to feel included.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess that's true.
And you're an evil bigot if you bring up how absurd that is.
Yeah. This is the problem with Buttigieg, though. He's got that in his past, right?
Right.
And look, you know, whatever. Like, he do whatever he wants. But he was very much a proponent of this stuff, of the DEI, of that sort of, like, crazy left-wing version of inclusion for many, many years. And he's now realized, oh, crap, that's no longer popular. That's no longer the thing. You know, Bud Light's not doing that anymore.
Right.
How do I get to the middle? And he's trying to kind of like, you know, pull the emergency brake and spin the car around all at the same time and start going the other direction. I just don't, I mean, that can't possibly
You can't do it. It's hard to do it, right? In this, the New York Post article that we sourced in our article, you've got a airline executive saying that he sat in a meeting with Buttigieg and said, why are you spending so much money on DEI? You know, we have all of these things. They have to be upgraded because we can't fly as many planes. And Buttigieg said, well, why would I want more planes to fly? Meaning that it like goes against their climate goals.
Oh, yeah,
it goes against all of those things. So actually fixing the air traffic control system would allow more carbon into the air. So why should we do it? Not that it would save lives. You know, not that maybe a, you know, Army helicopter would not have crashed into a Delta jet, you know, over. Right. But it's their priorities were woke, DEI, climate, all of those things, not the things that matter to America. Now, Sean Duffy gets in trouble, the current secretary, because he said, well, we're going to actually spend money where it's growing, right? Where people have families and they're having kids. And they're like, oh, that's you know, stupid conservatism.
Yeah.
But what he's trying to say is that we're going to spend money in the areas that are actually growing, right? Like here in Texas, I mean, I have never seen more miles of highway built in my entire life since I moved to Texas six years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's been more miles built in Texas since I moved here than there has been, than there are in the entire state of Massachusetts where I grew up.
Right, probably true.
Like multi-lane highways. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah, and then this is, of course, where the growth is. It's red states, right? It's Florida, it's Texas, it's, you know, Arizona, which has kind of gone a little bit more blue over the past couple of elections. But that sort of warm weather areas, right? Southern areas generally. Georgia's another big one.
South Carolina.
Yeah. That's where the growth is. That's what we need attention to. That's what, I mean, when you talk about infrastructure, like I think a lot of times conservatives are like seen as villains and they don't like infrastructure because it's spending money. And of course, there's some truth to that. Like we don't like inefficient expenditures of money. But like, we like getting around. We like getting around safely. Like, you know, there's some level I think conservatives would be comfortable with if it was going to areas that actually helped.
Right. I mean, you've got, for instance, in Massachusetts, hate to bring it back up, but I pay attention to the local Massachusetts stuff because I grew up there. So Harvard bought an old rail yard. The Harvard University bought an old rail yard that they've been trying to redo. Mm-hmm. Well, that takes a realignment of the Massachusetts Turnpike so that it's not on the outskirts, that it's kind of in. Multi-billion dollar project. You remember the last time the federal government gave Massachusetts billions of dollars? We had the Big Dig.
The Big Dig.
Which took 20 years and was a boondoggle, right?
And also had like parts of it crashing down on motorists.
Exactly. Yeah, because they were held up with zip ties. They held up concrete with zip ties. Fantastic.
Bad idea.
I was living there when that happened.
Yeah.
I think I drove through that tunnel like hours before that happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But so the Big Beautiful Bill took money away from that. They said, we're not going to fund this. It is not a priority of the American people to make Harvard more money for their land purchase.
Amen.
And the entire state's going absolutely nuts. But what was in the Big Beautiful Bill was $2.5 billion to modernize the air traffic control systems, which help all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But those are the sort of things, like my nascent libertarian, my retrograde libertarianism says that states should pay for all their own roads anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I know we'll never get there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's about making priorities and not just giving money to people that agree with you politically.
Yeah, and that doesn't seem to be what they do. So where do we go from here? Do you think Buttigieg has a chance? Will he run?
Oh, he'll run. I think there's going to be a whole bunch of them. I think that they're doing the bro podcast.
Yep, this is how you can tell, right?
Yeah, like, you can tell they're all doing these things. And that's
Rahm Emanuel is doing it too.
That's actually having a little bit of effect, right? Because there was a CBS poll, and we're trying to find more crosstabs that show this, that showed that 18 to 19-year-old male support for the president has dropped significantly. And I think a lot of that has to do with all of these Dems going on the bro podcast, right? They're going on Rogan. They're going on Flagrant. They're going on all these places that our people went on, and our people better start going back on them. You don't just win the election and then stop going to these guys, right? That's not what you do. That's not, you've got to keep, you know, they're going on Theo Vaughn's. They're going, because those guys will talk to anybody.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
I mean, a couple things popped to mind when we were talking about this. Number one, I saw the Andrew Schultz thing, and again, Andrew Schultz, pretty funny sometimes, but like the fact that he's like turned from MAGA into like Democratic Socialist in 3 months.
But he was a Bernie guy to begin with.
He was a Bernie guy to begin with. He went Bernie, then MAGA, back to Bernie. I don't know. But first of all, maybe we shouldn't be outsourcing all of our political thought to comedians that have thought about these things for 10 minutes. Right. That's just point number one. But point number two, it shows how just from a perspective of pure politics, what a pathetic failure this was on the Democratic side. All they had to do is show up for these things. A lot of these guys would have been won over by their flowery language on immigration and their promises on health care and all the stuff that they do. And instead, because they wanted to cancel them for their naughty jokes, they just threw this away and maybe blew the election.
Right. And I think that they're starting to see it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're doing it. And I think that that's
scary.
And I don't know if Buttigieg's made that circuit. I assume that he's going to.
He's done a couple of them. Yeah.
I assume he's going to do. And, you know, and that's the thing. And you've got, I mean, that field is going to be wide open. And I think both parties, I mean, J.D. will probably be the nominee of the Republican Party.
Unless
something happens. But again, that's going to skip over Gen Xers, right? Like, us in the Gen X age group are just totally screwed. We're so apathetic, we never wanted to be president or something.
Yeah.
Right? It was just Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio that wanted to be. We're slackers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see, I mean, these 70, 80-year-old people are going to die at some point in time that lead both parties, but lead the Democratic Party more than lead the Republican Party. That, you know, if you look at the Democratic Party, the average age of a democratically elected politician might be above 70 at this point in time. And the average age of a Republican one is like closer down to 60s. So like that tail end of the baby boomers, beginning of the Gen X age, right? There certainly are a lot fewer geriatric Republicans than there are Democrats. And I think that you're going to see, like we saw in 2016, just this huge Democratic field.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. You're going to see that ridiculous field. I mean, because you're going to get the Buttigieges of the world. You're going to get Gretchen Whitmer, I'm sure.
Bashir.
You're going to get Bashir. He's already
in South Carolina. Yeah.
You're going to get what's-his-face in California, Newsom.
Right.
I mean, I think he's in.
Beto will probably try to run again.
Yeah, probably.
You know, you F up and you move up. That's like the Beto thing.
Yeah. Where does he run? He's lost every single level of election. I don't know where
except
he would go
for Congress,
next.
Right? I always forget that he's a congressman.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. All right, Robbie Noah, managing editor of Blaze News. Be sure to head over to theblaze.com. Check out the new piece. Pete Buttigieg shoveled $80 billion in DEI from Transportation Department while ignoring air traffic control upgrades. You can find a link on my X account. And in the story, you can find a link to the documentary that I did. Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster, which came out late last year, right before all the craziness.
You will not want to fly.
Yeah, I will say that's it will scare you. Both of these things together will scare you very, very much if that's what you're looking for. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Romeo.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
As you may know, I'm a bit of a soda connoisseur.
And there's a new development with Coca-Cola. They're going to launch cane sugar soda in fall after Trump demand. Now, this has been reported a bunch of different ways. Let me tell you what's actually true, because what has been reported is like, oh, Trump threatened the company and now they're going to get rid of all their high fructose corn syrup, change the recipe and make it into pure sugar. That is not what's occurring at all. What actually is occurring is Coca-Cola is releasing a new flavor of Coca-Cola, which is like Mexican Coke. So if you've ever bought Mexican Coke at a, you know, a deli or something, those are usually imported, obviously, from Mexico, where they use pure cane sugar. They're basically just going to start selling that here, aside of their normal Coke, if you're used to that or you like it or you are, you know, thinking that you're only going to get super healthy sugar now instead of high fructose corn syrup. You're not. You're going to be able to choose for whatever you want, which is, to me, very, very great. I'm glad that they're doing that because I like varieties of soda. I will say it's a strange thing. Like a lot of this RFK Jr. stuff has been like, hey, eat more fries and soda. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, I don't think those things are healthy. I certainly love fries and love soda. But like, oh, well, if we put beef tallow in it, now it's healthy. Or we put cane sugar in it, now it's healthy. Here's the thing. You can solve the high fructose corn syrup thing from beginning to end very easily by reversing all the corn subsidies that make it so that it's more profitable for them to use high fructose corn syrup. That's why they use it here. That's why they don't use it in Mexico. It's not because Mexico's like, oh, well, I don't like corn syrup. It's because here it's cheaper to make with the corn syrup. That's why. They can just change the policy and that would go away. Again, protectionism is the reason you have high fructose corn syrup. That's just so you know. It's just the more you know. And a little star comes across the screen. Okay, let me tell you about Colbert. We talked about it yesterday, spent a decent amount of time on it. Colbert had a big response. He didn't seem to have any jokes. And I thought late night show hosts were supposed to joke about things. Instead, what he said was, F you! And that was it. So, I mean, I'm shocked this show failed. Shocked, because that's a really good way of handling it. And then Jon Stewart, we talked to you about this, so there's a big buildup. Is he going to quit? Is he going to make a big statement? Well, he did do a monologue on it. He yelled and screamed about how evil it was to get rid of Stephen Colbert and his $40 million losses, and then did a ridiculous dance. So, that is what they did with the time they had. And it's shocking that both of those shows lose money. That's a bit of a stunner, but apparently the truth, and at least the reported truth. I'm not in their budget. Maybe somebody's embezzling. You know, maybe they're making lots and lots of profit and one of the hosts is just pocketing the money. I don't know. We can't be sure. But it does look like that show's going away in May. And Jon Stewart is, I guess, going to go away today because he only does one show a week. So there you go. The story on late night television as it exists for the next few weeks, at least, in 2025. Okay, you and I both know, you've heard like the omega-3 supplements. They've been everywhere for years. Fish oil, you gotta have your fish oil. It's gonna be better cholesterol and reduce blood pressure and relief from joint pain, all these big promises. And you get all these promises, and a lot of times, let's be honest about it, they're not really delivering on those promises. If you're among those still waiting for noticeable benefits, here's why traditional fish oil might not be working for you. Not all omega-3 supplements are created equal. Typical fish oil capsules don't always provide omega-3s in a form your body can effectively use, and that's why something called Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil exists. Krill oil offers omega-3s in a highly absorbable form and includes a powerful antioxidant that standard fish oil doesn't have. So it can make a real difference that you can feel. Ask yourself honestly, have you had a cholesterol improvement? Is your blood pressure down? Do your joints feel significantly better? If your answers aren't confidently positive, it's probably time to try something else that's actually going to work for you. Try Native Path today. They've got a trial. You can check it out. If it doesn't work for you, they're going to take care of you. Get started right now with 66% off. That's not a bad deal, right? 66% off, free shipping. Go to nativekrill.com/stew. nativekrill.com/stew. Get it now, nativekrill.com/stew. At Blaze TV, we don't play along. We tell the truth even when it is hard and even when it's unpopular, because honestly, truth is too important to stay silent. On my show and across the Blaze TV network, the hosts are actually saying things they believe. How about that? I feel like that's there's a big hole right now in media where it's not even that like I depend on everybody to get everything right or get the truth every single time. What I would at least appreciate, however, is at least have hosts that believe the things they're saying are true. They might not even be right. I would at least like that. Here, they're much more right than wrong at Blaze TV. And you're not going to hear this, you know, from corporate media, certainly. They're pushing their agendas. They're doing what they do. We're going to push back with clarity and conviction. And it's not, you know, just content. It's a calling. And when you subscribe to Blaze TV, you're not just supporting conservative voices. You're joining a movement. It's just, $8 a month? And use the promo code STU, $20 off of the annual plan. It is StuDoesAmerica.com. Get access to the whole network. StuDoesAmerica.com.